Hey, podcast lovers.
Now available, a new podcast experience featuring exclusive miniseries like
Food Faves
and all new series that takes a fun look at everyone's real first true love, food.
Milky Way Marvels,
a lighthearted astronomy series where we explore the fascinating wonders of our galaxy,
pop culture icons,
an entertaining, nostalgic look back at various nouns in popular culture, plus more. Relax, enjoy, listen, laugh, and maybe even learn. Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Now streaming everywhere you listen.
Let's talk about childhood. Growing up, the feeling of freedom. When your only stress was what you're going to eat next and what was on TV. It was all about Saturday morning cartoons and hanging out with your friends at their house and, depending on what decade you grew up in, at the skating rink, at the mall, and at the arcade.
When I think of an arcade, that is the first thing that comes to mind. Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Pac-Man, and pinball. And, you know, definitely some loud 80s music going on.
On this episode of Pop Culture Icons, let's take you back to that glorious era of arcades.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Season 2, Episode 10, Pop Culture Icons, The Arcade, Part 1.
The year, 1972. The birth of a catalyst of the arcade and, really, video games in general. Described as the first commercially successful video game, Pong was released. Designed by Atari engineer Alan Alcorn, it was table tennis, or ping pong, put on screen. Players would use paddles to hit a ball back and forth. You would get points when one fails to return the ball to the other, the goal being to reach 11 points before your opponent. It was basically some dotted lines and a ricocheting dot. By today's technological standards, Pong was primitive, but it sparked a video game race, so to speak, and led to classic games like Breakout in 1976, Space Invaders in 1978, Asteroids in 1979, and all the games from the glorious 80s and beyond.
Well, I loved Pac-Man. And I love Tetris. Tetris was always great. Yeah, those are probably my favorite ones. And the ones with the gorilla. What was the gorilla? Was that King Kong?
You mean Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong, there we go. Yes, oh my God, Donkey Kong, yep.
Pac-Man, Street Fighter. I think even Mortal Kombat. Even the, I don't know what it's called, but like the little slingshot where you put your, like your coin in and like the ball rolls down and goes to like a maze type of, those type of games.
Pinball, that's it. Love the pinball machines. Those were always flipping awesome.
Yeah, X-Men the Arcade, Double Dragon, Mortal Kombat, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. I love the race car ones. I was never very good at them, though.
Welcome to Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy and this ongoing series we call Pop Culture Icons. It's where we like to take a lighthearted, fun, nostalgic look back at various nouns in popular culture. If you're a Gen Xer or elder millennial, then there's a good chance that you remember the arcade. And if you're listening to this, I have to assume that that memory is a good one.
Man, matter of fact, I was just the other day, I was driving by, you remember the old Dollar Movie Theater across the street from Northwoods Mall?
Oh yeah.
I had to make a delivery near Hand in Hand, and I was coming back on that backside of Eagle Landing Drive, and I went up on the backside across the railroad tracks, and I saw that theater. And the first thing I thought of was like, oh man, that was memories, man. Cause that theater was so dope. Because my mom used to drop me off there. She used to work at Dillard's at Northwoods. So in the summertime, and the movie theaters were cheap back then, like a double feature was like $5 on the weekend. So I got to watch a double feature, and I had an allowance saved up where I can go on that arcade, because you had the upstairs and downstairs, but all the hot ones was upstairs. So I remember me going up there, meeting a bunch of new kids, playing X-Men, the X-Men arcade game. That was like the big wide one. Of course, my Ninja Turtles. I remember they had the Terminator game up there. Oh my goodness. And I think they had Pac-Man. They had Skee-Ball, but it was just that whole experience of like, and the smell. You know what I'm saying? Even us, the movie theater, it's still like the, and you can hear the coins. Just the whole ambiance of that experience, hearing like the change and like people going at it and the joystick. Man, yeah, that brought me back. So when I drove by there, I took a picture because of how abandoned it is. And it's like, man, I'm like, man, if I had the money, you know what I'm saying?
Fun fact, I worked at that movie theater in high school. Kind of sucks it doesn't exist anymore.
For me, it was at first, like when you're 8 to 10 years old, I don't know. It was, my parents were so afraid to let me go there by myself. So what I just remember is being very cautious of the people in there and keeping to myself. It's this door that your parents won't let you go into by yourself. And they don't want to go in there with you. At least that's the way my parents were. They didn't want me wasting my money in there. And then about 13, 14, it became a place where if they gave me a couple of dollars, I could go kill some time and they could go do their thing. And when I went in, being kind of an introvert and socially awkward at that time, I found it to be a great place to zone out and play. I had my two games, Star Wars and Ms. Pac-Man, of course. Because you know girls are better at Ms. Pac-Man, right? Because we got better wrist action. I'm not the Ms. Pac-Man player that I used to be, though. I haven't played in a very long time. But it was a place where you could, if you were really good, people would start to notice and stuff, but people wouldn't really bother you.
Well, personally, the coolest thing for me, a couple of things, was the Citadel Mall was within walking distance from the house. So anytime I wanted to hit up an arcade, I didn't need to get a ride, I could just walk. Plus, Mom's worked at the mall, so it was a reason for me to kind of go there. Because when she got up at 9 o'clock, we had to walk her back home. So we'd be there from like after school, 5, 6 o'clock for hours and hours and hours, just hanging out at the mall in the arcade, man. So that's one of the best childhood memories. It was, you know, clean, fun, and it got a little bit of family time because, like I said, my mom was there. So the arcade was the place to be. Plus, it was a safe place for the kids. All right, so.
UFA.
Man, when Street Fighter first came out, you know, folks had to line up, drop your quarter on the arcade and just wait your turn. And when I got my time with Chun-Li, man, I was killing it. Smash, smash. And then, but the problem is once you lost, man, you wait like 30, 45 minutes for your round to come.
Yo, yep.
Woo. Round one, fight.
Yeah, Chun-Li was my favorite. She was probably a lot of boys' favorites. I mean, she was cute. And then with the thighs. And it was like, oh. You want to look at my legs, huh? Prevert? Try this. I used to love to do the toe tap off the top of somebody's head.
Yeah. But man, that part was cool. My next thing, I don't know if a lot of people remember this one. It was a Star Wars game. It was an Empire Strikes Back. You had to step into like this booth and sit down, and it was like the X-Wing fighter. You got in.
Red 5, standing by.
And the graphics were terrible, but it was, you know, state of the art at the time. It just had, you know, it was a black screen, green lines, and you're just flying through that thing like, you know, trying to blow up the Death Star. and you know, I'm used to quarter games, but that thing was 50 cents, so you really had to be invested in it. You really had to get good at that. So when you go above that quarter, it had to be a no-pain. So that's the one I remember the most. I spent a lot of time in there. And to me, that was the coolest thing. You didn't have a lot of distractions. It was just you in the game, and then you were just going at it. That was cool.
I remember, well, growing up in California, we had different like arcade facilities where they just have, you know, different games. And it was, you know, almost like a Chuck E. Cheese type of place, but it was strictly arcades. And that was in the 80s. And that was, you know, something where I would go with my cousins. You know, we would spend hours playing games. I believe it was like a quarter at the time, and just being glued to the screen. In downtown Los Angeles, flashing lights, you know, big colorful neon signs, you know, the dark on the inside and like illuminating lights of all the games and the machines. And it was more fun at night because, you know, the lights would be like almost a glow in the dark type of setting. Probably a Friday night. And of course, the best times were during the summer when there was no school, so you can go pretty much every day of the week, spend all your allowance on the machines. But it's been a long time since I've seen or played one, but it was definitely a part of my childhood growing up in the 80s.
Oh my gosh. So I just, like, when I was little, like, it just was so much fun. It would be like our family, like, you know, outing, you know, maybe go see a movie, but we go there and, you know, try to win like all the tickets and play all the games, you know, like the one with the balls, you slide, what is that called? You sling, take the balls, you sling it up and try to get it in the holes.
Skee ball. Yes. Yes. When I was little, that was my jam.
Yeah, skee ball. There we go. Love skee ball. And then you had the goal, you would hit the golfers. What am I talking about? when they pop.
You're talking about whack-a-mole?
Love that. Even they had Tetris back in the day at the arcade. I remember that. I love that. Even like the ones with the guns, like that was so much fun. I mean, it was just always such a great, happy experience, you know? They still have a couple. I mean, not like there's an arcade in the city with a bar. But they have tons of like the old games, and then they also do like a pop-up, like a Friends pop-up, where they, you know, they have a set from Friends there. So it's actually pretty cool. So I have it last year before everything. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I don't remember. Went there and I was just like, oh my gosh, just brought back such great memories. You know, it had to be skee ball because I played it with my dad.
And one more thing that I love whack-a-mole. Very serious about that game too.
My mom was a huge Pac-Man Galaga fan, and Pac-Man, because she wouldn't let me play Pac-Man. She would just hog the arcade because it was like that one system where you sat down, so it was the table kind. And she just was amazing at Pac-Man, and I was like, all right, well, I want to play the Galaga because I like the little rocket ships and the sounds it was making. And I was like, oh man, this is awesome. We're in space. So yeah, Galaga, for sure. I still love that game. I play it for hours to this day. Love that game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that your mom's played.
Yeah. My mom is just so good at it, man. It's like, I think she was one of them that just always would win and just put, you know, throw it in my face afterwards. You know, you get mad at your mom, but for so long, it's like, But Galaga, though, but yeah. I was a Pac-Man fan, but Galaga was the first game that I remember, for sure. Yeah.
I feel like if your parents were kind of into games back then, that was pretty special. Although I think now it's more common, probably because younger parents of that generation, like me and us, grew up playing games themselves. So, all right, here's what I want to know. Think back. If you only had, say, $2 or $3 to play, and you had to choose carefully, what would you play? What would it be?
All right, so we factoring in, $3. No, $3, because I was going to say $3 is a lot back then.
Yeah, you know what?
Because I think the game's like a quarter. $3 and quarters. All right.
That is a great point. That's true. So maybe $1.
Well, let me start you here. I don't know where I got $3 from because at 10, 11 years old, I had no job. I don't know where I got money from, but I always had quarters. I had enough quarters to hit up the arcade for a few hours. So that's the first thing, because my mom wasn't giving it to me. My pops wasn't giving it to me. Any money that we got, we had to work for it. Like I said, no job, maybe cut some grass. But if I had to go in there, if the Street Fighter was busy, I said, squash that. I'm going to hit that Empire Strikes game up, because nobody was messing with it for some reason. It wasn't a big hit. But for me, just to be able to concentrate and get in there, and I could be in that one game, but I could last 15, 20 minutes, and that was worth, you know, the two quarters. Because, you know, the big games, two quarters, man, you had to be at it. So I spent a lot of my time just on that, those two.
Okay, so because you wanted to get as many tickets as you could, so you get the gifts at the end, you know, you go and you, like, turn in all your tickets. It was probably Skee-Ball, because that was the one that you get the most tickets from. You go pick out all the stupid prizes.
But that was a big thing. But I didn't really do Skee-Ball too much. Because the reason is I found a way to cheat. Which, you know, I'm ashamed to say, but I found a way to cheat with Skee-Ball. You just get up and you just drop it in. I'm like, this is way too easy.
It's the one where I guess I'm Luke and I'm going to blow up. I have to get to the point where I blow up the Death Star. It just always said Star Wars at the top. I don't know what it is. I just love getting lost in the stars and blowing up the Death Star and getting to the point where I blow up the Death Star. Yes, you have this controller and, you know, you know that part where Luke goes down and he has to trust the Force and get that one shot in to blow up the Death Star? It's like, you get to be right in there and...
Yo!
You're on fire, kid!
It's still magical every time. It never gets old. And it's like, whenever I find it, it feels like that scene in Big where the guy sees the fortune-telling game with Tom Hanks. It's just like, oh, I'm here and I must play you.
I wish I were Big.
If my parents were in a bowling league or something like that, I would gravitate to the arcade and I would spend hours playing Rampage. That was my favorite game. And when that thing came out on the original Nintendo Entertainment System, freaking love that game. The only problem with that game is it didn't have Wolfman. It just had Lizzie and George.
Oh, Rampage. Yes, I love that one. Destroying the buildings.
Yeah, it would have to be Rampage, and I'd probably blow those $2 on Rampage. And then as I got older, probably NBA Jam. Loved NBA Jam.
Oh, yeah. He's heating up.
He's on fire.
Welcome to NBA Jam. Ugly shot. He's heating up.
And then again, I think that came out on Sega later. I don't remember. Maybe it came out on Sega first and then the arcade game. I don't remember. I'm just over 40, so I'm starting to forget things. Yeah, Rampage, the... anything that I could win tickets or the, you know, sporting games. If I was going to play a video game, which when I went to an arcade, I tried to stay towards the ticket games, but a video game, anything sports related, I like to play. I enjoyed the skee ball. Anything that moved, anything that kind of had a motion thing to it, I really liked. I was never good at car racing games, like, and you know, Daytona Beach or anything. I was never good at racing games, but I like to play them because you kind of had that interactive piece.
Yep, same here, man.
And I loved, gosh, and I think it was Resident Evil, but it had to be one of the earlier Resident Evil games. I just remember playing this arcade game over and over and just pumping money into it. And you were, I'm sure it was Resident Evil, shooting zombies, and I thought it was the coolest game ever. And man, I just pumped money into that thing just to continue. I'm not very good at video games. And I think that was my problem. I'm not very coordinated. The hand-eye coordination isn't there. I could shoot a basketball, like a real basketball in real life. I played high school ball, but man, you get me in front of an arcade game or even a home gaming system, I'm just not coordinated. Once the controllers got to more than 4 to 6 buttons, I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I can't do this anymore.
All right, $3 and quarters, I would say Oh yeah, well of course I gotta go the Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, I think that was the arcade game name. Turtles in Time, X-Men, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. Those were the four. And if I got, but dang, that's only $3 though. So that slims it.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? Those were some big decisions.
Yeah.
Was there one main one though?
Okay, if it was one main one, I'm hitting up X-Men, because at the time, 90s, X-Men was that property, man. It's like, oh, X-Men was like, oh, everything was the cartoon, which I was a huge fan of. And of course the game, those characters that you just came from watching in the morning, you wanted to go and play those same characters. And the cool thing was for, you know, you could play it, you know, with people. So you had that community aspect, like, all right, cool. You don't want to mess up. It's like, you don't want to be the one character that dies. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a few quarters. Everybody else, you want to survive that whole thing. So yeah.
I remember that. Okay, so who was your go-to?
Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler was my guy. Because, I mean, everybody, Wolverine was taken. Everybody was going for Wolverine. I love Storm, too. Because Storm, you could fly up. But Nightcrawler was when you could transport. And just like, boom, boom. That was very beneficial, man. When you fighting those attacks, you had to disappear and come back.
Hands down, pinball. Even to this day, when I go into an arcade, the local one that I had, you know, that even brought this conversation on, I go straight to the pinball machine. Well, besides pinball, definitely that Simpson machine. Depending on if I'm with someone, maybe Pac-Man, you know, two-player Pac-Man. So those were kind of like my go-tos, and they still are, actually. But you know what else? If I'm with someone, 100% air hockey. I take it very seriously. Like, I'm undefeated. I start sweating when I play. Sometimes my shoulder gets a little sore. But I don't care. I'm going to push through because I'm going to win. What about you? What's your favorite?
Wow. Well, first of all, thanks for asking.
Mm-hmm.
I played that Star Wars game a lot, too. That's been mentioned a couple times. I like Frogger, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. I remember Tron, Berserk. Punch Out was fun. Missile Command was definitely one of my favorites for sure. But I really liked the driving games. Like, some had a gas pedal and a shifter, but you still had to stand up to play them. Like Pole Position from 1982. No, you know what? I think it was Outrun.
Get ready.
No, you know what? It was Outrun. Yep. It was just you and your blonde haired girl in a red sports car or Ferrari just rolling down the highway. It was great. Good memories. All right. One of my go-tos was Afterburner, released in 1987. It was one that you actually sat down in. You were a fighter pilot in an F-14 Tomcat, because, you know, back then it was all about the F-14, especially with the Top Gun and all that. But Afterburner, it moved from side to side and it tilted forward and backward with the movement of the jet however you move the stick. And man, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And that was definitely one I would spend my money on. Then in the 90s, of course, Street Fighter II, Mortal Kombat was super popular, but that was a little too sinister for me. I didn't like that one. But that was super popular. It's probably more popular than Street Fighter in some ways. But games with guns were huge. So aside from like Duck Hunt early on, there was I remember Time Crisis. There was a bunch of others I can't remember right now that had the guns and stuff. But those were real big. But the driving ones were always my favorites, especially the ones you sit down in, because it was different. It was like you were really driving, and that little extra bit of immersion from sitting down and you're kind of covered, it was so cool. Like Cruisin', Crazy Taxi from 1999. But yeah, Once the ones that moved came out, man, I always gravitated toward those.
Well, now that I'm an adult, I do like the moving ones. I always liked them as a kid, but I think I like them more now because I think I'm better at them, more coordinated, even though I'm still not good. And there's one at the local arcade where it's a pirate ship, and you sit inside, and you've got this giant helm, and it's really, the graphics are just really so awesome, and it's very stressful, like the good kind of stress.
All this conversation is probably, hopefully, bringing back all the memories, and you probably brought back in your rememory where you used to play arcade games. Most of us had a favorite spot to go to, I'm sure.
It was Aladdin's Castle was the name. What's it going? Aladdin's Castle, man. And
yes, Aladdin's Castle.
Yeah. I would walk in and I knew how to like go straight down, sit at the mall, make that one left turn, make that other left turn. It was at the very end. So, man, it was, as soon as you walked there, you just kind of looked around to see who was there, how crowded it was. And I still remember the smell of it, man. It just smelled like just teenagers in sweat, man. It was bad. But it was so cool. It was just so cool. So you walk in, and if it was empty, it was straight. And if it was packed, it was straight. But either way you go, man, Aladdin's Castle was the spot back in the mall.
Yes. Yeah. Aladdin's Castle. Absolutely. Yeah, that was the weekend hangout. That was just, matter of fact, yo, Pizza Hut. That was a low-key place I had, because, like, when Pizza Hut was, like, that restaurant, when it was, like, when you were a kid, like, man, personal pans. Remember the Book It program? Oh, man. But I would go in there, and I saw, like, a little mini arcade. And I think it was just a sit-down. They had Street Fighter, Pac-Man, Galaga. Man, that was, I feel it, man. I'm just, like, super nostalgic right now.
Because when the Coastal Carolina Fair came, they had an arcade. And it was better than any arcade, and it was the only one that I liked, and it's the one thing that I visit every year because they always have the Star Wars game.
I mean, well, I grew up in Jersey, so like when I was little, that was more so the thing there. Down the shore there were arcades, up north, you know, there were arcades in our movie theaters. There was like a mini arcade section. But now I'm in Texas and we have a separate arcade, and it's very 80s inspired.
So I was born in like the suburbs of Chicago, then we moved to Michigan, a small town in Michigan throughout my adolescent years, and then we moved back here when I turned close to teenage years. So we went to Kalamazoo to like the arcade out there. I do not know what the name of it was. I couldn't tell you. So I just remember going there, and it was a, you know, having a really good time. Like, that was a fun family outing. Yeah. So I'm 44. So yeah, like I was born in 76. So yeah, you definitely like the 80s time frame. So when going roller skating was cool, and you know, you'd play games at the roller rink. They had arcades there, the games there. Oh my God, that's so, like, I'm just like, I'm having flashbacks having this conversation. This is hilarious.
Yeah, Aladdin's Castle was definitely the main spot in the malls, and movie theaters too. But yeah, it did seem like growing up, there were arcade games everywhere, even if it was like a single machine, like everywhere, even in the grocery store. Well, this has been super fun, but I used my last quarter and the continue timer is about to run out. So that's going to be it for part one. I want to thank my guests, which, as you can tell by their experiences, grew up in varying time periods and places in the US, which was great. Now, in part two, our guests will actually get names, and we will get an interesting perspective from someone on the inside of the business of the arcade. Some really interesting behind-the-scenes stuff I think you will enjoy. And for many of us, at a certain point, we stopped going. Why was that? And when did the arcades fade away? Or have they? That and more nostalgic memories in part two. So what do you think? What was your favorite arcade game? Did we mention some of your favorites? Did we totally miss one that you know should have been mentioned? I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. And you can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Vero, Facebook, Patreon, and Instagram. And our website, sonicembassy.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it so more people can find out about us. But if you think this podcast is not worth using another quarter to continue, well, the way to really stick it to me is to share that on social media with a link to sonicembassy.com/podcast. If you have an idea that you think would make a great episode, then let me know. I love it. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more soon. There are more episodes of Pop Culture Icons in the works, so follow the Sonic Embassy to stay up to date.
In the other day, Sonic.
Sonic Embassy.